What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's another edition of Locked On Eagles. I am your humble host, as always, Louis DiBiase.
Humble's one way to put it.
To my left, not always humble, Lars. Lars Lewis, guys. There we go. I didn't even have time to introduce him. Excited to have you back on the show, man. Ever since I had surgery,
you can breathe again.
Yes, that's right. Gino was running the ship pretty tight last week. Did a good job, but now I got you back on the show, and it's a fun one today, I would say for sure.
I got pretty jealous seeing his vacation pics.
That's right. Gino was down in the Carolinas. The Carolinas are nice. I went down there a couple years ago. I actually saw the Panther Stadiums. Really nice. Like, Charlotte's a nice city. South Carolina, Myrtle Beach and that kind of stuff.
Charlotte's in North Carolina.
Well, yeah, I'm saying the Carolinas in general. I'm meshing the two together.
The thing is, for any of the longtime listeners with the both of us, Louis and geography are two things that have never meshed.
That's very true. Geography is not my strong suit. You know what is, though, Lars? Jerseys. Me and you did an entire podcast, actually. This was the last time we were on together.
Yes.
Was the Jersey Cast about a month ago now, it seems
it's
like.
It's the off-season,
people.
Trying to find things before camp.
That's right. We've been getting you. I hope that you guys have enjoyed the Dead Zone with us. I feel like we've done a good job of helping people get through it together, because now, Lars, we are less than 10 days away from training camp officially. The Eagles report to Novacare Complex the 24th. So we'll get into all the actual – there's actual football to talk about from the 24th all the way, and I keep saying it every show, hopefully until February, if you know what I mean, hint, hint, in Miami. And so we got like one more week now here to – we'll preview training camp. We're going to get into positional battles. We're going to get into our CB Wars podcast that I literally talk about all the time. I got a fun – here's a podcast coming up this week. We've got a – all I'm going to say, I'm going to hint at it this way. There's a former Eagles player coming on the show this weekend that it's a niche player. I think if you're a diehard fan, you remember. He's a player from still the 2010s era. He was on offense. I'm not going to go any further, but for 1 year, he was this unicorn style of player on the offensive side of the ball. You probably will not guess it, but he's coming on the show this weekend, and I'm not going to say who quite yet, because I want, when I drop the pod, I want everyone to be absolutely, like, it's a player, Lars. You ever know, like, guys where just, like, they go, it seems like they just are stored in the back of your head, and you're suddenly like, oh my gosh, remember that guy? That's this kind of player here. So he's going to be joining the show this week.
I'm going to be doing some research when I'm done here, trying to find this said unicorn
he played,
that you were talking about.
I will say, I'm going to give you a range of when he played. I'll give you 2006 to 2013, somewhere in that vicinity.
That was
a really weird time
in Eagles history.
Well, it was kind of the end of the Dawkins-McNabb era and into the final stand of Andy Reid, and then the Chip Kelly era began. So, yeah.
Thrown in there was like a little Jeff Garcia.
Right, 2006 when he took the Eagles to the second round. That's actually what kind of helped spark me being an Eagles fan, Lars, as a young kid, was seeing Jeff Garcia pull a Nick Foles before Nick Foles was doing
of it. Of all the players in the history
isn't
of the
weird?
Philadelphia
isn't
Eagles,
he like not...
it was Jeff Garcia that turned you into an Eagles
fan. Because isn't he like the bizarro quarterback that Lou wants, right?
That's kind of true.
So we'll get into that interview this weekend. That's all I'll say for now. Lars, you can do the research later on. I bet you some people out there know who I'm talking about. Does not play in the NFL anymore. As for today's podcast, I want to get into a few things here. The Madden rankings came out today. I have a couple problems with that. I have a couple good things I like about it that also made me think about just the Eagles standing in the league in general. But also, Lars, before we get into that, that'll be the second and third segment here. The NFL came out with these inverted, quote-unquote, legacy jerseys randomly. They didn't really announce anything. Suddenly, on the majority of teams' official NFLShop.com pages and on their websites, these jerseys came out, these weirdly colored jerseys that a lot of it had to do with, I think, the emphasis what the NFL is trying to do here is emphasize the secondary colors of these teams. Because on the Eagle shop, a fan brought it to my attention that there was a dark silver Zach Ertz Eagles jersey available on the shop. And I'm wondering here if it's going to be part of a new, because remember, they discontinued Color Rush in 2018. I'm wondering if maybe it's part of a new promotional series, because then I started digging into it. And I'm like, okay, there's only one jersey. You can't buy it in anybody but Ertz. Then I started looking at other teams. I'm like, do other teams have this? And lo and behold, there is a handful of teams. I mean, there's a red Titans jersey that's out
now,
right now.
Hold on. Now, the thing is, I only know of the Eagles one, and the one released by the Buffalo Bills, which was like a navy-colored one with Josh Allen. I haven't seen any of the others
yet. Well,
here
you go, Lars. I put a graphic up. I was writing an article on it for 97.3 ESPN South Jersey, and I put this together, collected some of the jerseys right now that are out there. There's some gray ones.
I'm almost
ones.
Afraid to look.
There's a lot of gray ones. There's the Bears gray one. Cleveland's got a dark gray one.
Oh, my God. What is that? Baltimore one.
You don't like the puke puke yellow Baltimore Ravens?
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the, what was it? Like the Sacramento Kings wore those sort of puke gold and purple ones like back in the 2000s?
Though that's a gross one for sure.
Oh, the Cincinnati one's even worse.
Yeah, it's like it has orange and striped sleeves, but it's dark charcoal in the center. They have a bright yellow Steelers one, a bright yellow Packers one.
That actually looks
one.
Pretty nice.
I think the Steelers and Packer ones are very sharp. The Giants will be bringing back their red jerseys. Which are I like the red jerseys, actually, for the Giants, to be honest with you.
I mean, if you're going to stink, you might as well look good.
The most bizarre one, though, of all, is this Titans red one. That looks just like the Buccaneers jersey. I guess now we know what Mariota's jersey would look like if the Buccaneers took him first overall in 2015. But, Lars, I wonder, like, are they going to wear these, or is it just one of those cheesy things they're going to do in the shop now to get another $80 out of
you? This looks like kind of the knockoff jerseys that you buy at Walmart.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking too. But if they wear them, then it changes it. For me,
the
I'm
Cleveland
only buying
one. Looks
one.
Really weird. I would
They're
never imagine the Browns wearing.
Look,
gray.
Why is the Bills jersey black? I mean, I think it's a sharp look, honestly, with like the red and white.
Wait a minute, that's black?
That's black. Yeah, if you
no,
ask me,
no, that can't be. I know
I
you
know.
Got
maybe
your nose
navy,
fixed.
Maybe
you should get
navy.
Your eyes fixed next.
Maybe it's navy blue. For
that
me,
has to
I,
be navy.
I thought I saw black in that, but
you should see your Oculus.
I'm not buying one of these. Unless they start to wear these. Because then, like you said, if they don't end up unveiling these on the field, then it's you're right. It's very, like, knockoff. And look, I'm good with knockoff jerseys. It's just when, but they've got to actually be, like, the actual design. These are not.
I don't think there's one team on that list, even the Eagles.
You don't like
the
Eagles silver one? Honestly, I don't hate them all that much. I'm all in on new jerseys. The Eagles haven't had a new jersey to wear since 2010 when they brought out the look. I know we all want Kelly Green. We all do. But until the NFL gets rid of the stingy one-helmet rule, right now, we got to go with what we got, and I love the Eagles' current midnight getup, but I think a new jersey would help spice things up. I think it would be, and again, the NFL's stupid for not doing this all the time because of jersey sales, but I think a new Eagles jersey would be cool considering they kind of sat out the color rush, you know, because they would just wear all white or all black during color rush. So, I don't know, even though it's not the sharpest look, I think it's good enough to wear. It's nice to refresh it and bring in a new look.
Why is there a picture of Sam Bradford wearing it?
Well, because actually a fan did a Photoshop job of in 2015 when Color Rush started. Someone did a Photoshop job of the gray look because people actually thought that the Eagles were going to go with gray during Color Rush. So I don't know, man. This might be a real thing.
If you want drab and painfully average, it makes perfect sense to put it on Sam Bradford.
But yeah, again, he is the least appealing athlete of all time, so that's the wrong guy to rep a getup like that to kind of show it off to the public. But I don't know. You're not big into them. I really
I don't
like
them.
I think they're okay. I don't hate them. I think they'd be a fun new mix. If you can implement a little bit more green into them,
gray
I'm
just
in.
Looks weird on Philly.
Yeah, it's. But again, I'm kind of all. And 73% of the fans, by the way, agree with you, Lars. Though on Twitter, follow us by the way at Lockdown Birds and at DiBiase Louis Lars at Lars Lewis 12. Yeah, 73% agree with you. And just 27% agree with me that I'll take them on the field.
You know what the 73% are, right?
What's
that? The Kelly Green crowd.
Well, yeah, but I'm part of the Kelly Green crowd, too.
I
want to be very.
Anything else.
I'm very liberal when it comes to jerseys. I think that's the fair way to put it for me. And again, it's not the ideal look. Absolutely not. But I'll take them. I don't know if they're going to be worn on the field, but it was kind of a quiet thing the NFL did, so I wonder if they're planning on releasing a promotional thing about it.
I think they're testing reaction market.
That's a good idea. Yeah. They just kind of release it low-key and then have you discover it on your own, and then they watch the reaction.
If people
I can
don't
see
like
that.
Them,
yeah.
They won't put them on the field.
Definitely can see that. All right, let's take a quick break, Lars. When we come back, the official first round of Madden ratings have come out, and I've got some good things to say about it for the Eagles, and I got a couple gripes with it as well that also made me think about the Eagles' place in the NFL right now and the perception that the national media has of them, that companies like Madden do, compared to guys like us that have been covering the team now on hand, very in-depth inside for years now. I want to get into that because the Madden ratings started getting me to think about that in a different way. So we're going to get into that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This Tuesday edition, July 16th, 8 days away, ladies and gentlemen, from training camp at NovaCare Complex. We got you covered, as always. That's why you got to make sure you subscribe on any podcast app. Just tell your smart device to play Locked On Eagles, because me, Lars, and Gino, we're cranking out 4 to 5 podcasts a week. All right, Lars, we got into some jersey talk once again, like we like to do a lot on the show, with the new potential silver jerseys being unveiled for the Eagles. We'll keep you up to date on that as the news follows. I really do like your thing that I think the NFL just threw those out there to kind of get feelers out there for the fans, kind of see what they think about them. Moving on now to another non-serious topic at all that made me more angry than it probably should have are the Madden ratings. Because, Lars, I don't play Madden anymore. Well, I do, but people were actually joking with me on Twitter because I keep posting stuff of my Madden 2004 franchise where I recreated the 2019 Eagles because I reinvested in a PlayStation 2. I bought Madden 04 for 99 cents.
People have been talking about that with you for a while.
I'm saving like 70 bucks because I just, the games as they more and more got realistic and more realistic and more realistic, they got less and less entertaining for me, and I felt like I kept just dropping 70 bucks every year just because I felt like
glitchy.
I had to. Yeah, and I just felt like I had to as an NFL fan to own these games, where eventually I stopped. So I'm not even really a modern Madden player anymore.
Remember the last time I played Madden?
No, what do you mean?
You remember exactly when that happened.
Oh, when you knocked out my two front teeth?
Okay, a little backstory here before we get into this. So
we're playing.
I have a Sega Genesis actually in my house.
Oh, we were playing even older. You guys think I play an old version of Madden? We were playing Madden from the start.
Madden 94.
Yeah, that's right.
And he had the Eagles with, I think Ricky Waters is on that team.
Ricky Waters. Dude, that guy was so good for 3 years with the Birds. Anyway,
okay.
Continue, though.
So, Louis got a 4th and 18 at, like, the 38-yard line. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way he's going to score. He's been running the ball all game. Because you can't
throw
in this
man. Well, it's kind of hard to throw in those old games.
So, he calls a toss play to Ricky Waters, and he actually runs for 40-some yards into the end zone for a touchdown. And I was like, you got to be kidding.
It was a Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl kind of moment.
He broke like 3 tackles and came down the sideline and scored on a 4th and 18. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I ended up just out of disgust, I tossed the controller and
lo and behold, my two front teeth are right in the path and crack. Gone.
It was a freak accident. Where I just put it in the perfect spot at the perfect angle. The speed of the paddle combined with the weight of the corner went right into his face.
And lo and behold, I look like a hillbilly after that for 2 weeks. That's also why I kind of stopped playing like the real games now, is that I used to be so competitive with video games growing up that I think that eventually weaned me off of it because I could not take, I don't know, I was a competitive kid. The rage quits of video games. But anyway, like the new Madden ratings came out here. And Lars, Carson Wentz is an 82 overall. He's the 13th ranked quarterback. For a comparison here, Patrick Mahomes. Look, I understand. Patrick Mahomes to me is already an elite quarterback. You don't just throw 50-plus touchdowns, even with the weapons and Andy Reid's offense that you're in. You don't just take the Chiefs from what they were with Alex Smith to the level that Mahomes did and not be a special talent. But the fact that he's a 97 overall, I'm sorry, Lars, there is not a plus 15 overall difference between Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz after 1 year. I'm sorry, that's just, it's not the case at all. Jared Goff is ranked higher. That, to me, is not the case. Cam Newton is, you know, how many games Goff compared to Wentz? You look at the games last year against Chicago and against Philly, where Goff is literally useless. How many times in 3 seasons can you say Carson Wentz, even for the games you can consider Wentz struggled, how many of those games was he actually useless, like where he got nothing going? Maybe one time ever, and I would say it's the Bengals game in his rookie year. I mean,
the only proof I need was seeing Goff against the Patriots.
Well, that, yeah, and exactly. Like, there's never been a Wentz game where there's been times where he's not available, but when he's on the field, and that's why we always go back to, like, the pay the quarterback thing. I'm not paying a quarterback $30-plus million to to have those kind of games. Like, if I'm paying you that much money, your floor is like a bad Carson Wentz game for me. So the fact that he is below guys like Goff and Baker Mayfield, it's just, I don't know if, do you agree with me that I feel like, I've noticed this, I kind of went back from like 2010 up until this point with just quarterback being even more emphasized. I feel like quarterback's position more than anything in sports where we are the biggest prisoners of the moment. Am I right? And I think that's what we're having here with Baker being ahead of Wentz. And look, I know what we were prisoners of the moment, you could say, with Wentz in 2017, but he has proven throughout the course of his career that he is a legit starting quarterback in the NFL, whereas these guys, like, it's been a year. I mean, we had it with RG3, right? The RG3 flash in the pan. How many times has this happened where we say, here's the next guy, and I feel like that's what we're getting here with Mayfield and Mahomes. I'm sorry, Wentz is not an 82 overall. And it's a video game. I don't care, but, I mean, that's low. That's low.
It's pretty simple. Recency bias.
Yeah. Well,
that's just all it is.
And we suffer from it more at the quarterback position than anything else in sports. I mean, that's pretty
quarterbacks
plain
get
put.
Blamed for losses and get credit for wins where it doesn't even – there's times where they have no say in a win and a loss of a team. Carson Wentz gets criticized because – the defense stunk the first half of the year.
The offensive line wasn't good. He
was
also injured.
Wentz was playing with a busted back.
He still had a career high in pretty much a lot of categories, like completion percentage, QBR. Wentz had a touchdown-to-interception ratio. That was on a fractured back. In a video game.
Okay, if he's got a fractured back, then yeah, give him an 82, but a healthy Wentz is at least a 93.
Right, it's just I and again, I'm not someone that should get overly mad about this because I don't play the game, but it's just, once again, I just think that people are going to look really ridiculous in a couple months. That's all I'm going to say, right? I think people are going to look pretty ridiculous.
They want that smoke.
Once again.
They're going to get that smoke.
That recency bias we're talking about with guys like, I love Baker Mayfield. I really do. I think Patrick Mahomes is a stud. I think Jared Goff is a fine quarterback in the NFL. But the recency bias you're talking about, with all those guys I just mentioned, it is happening hard on the other end of the spectrum for Carson Wentz right now. And now suddenly it's funny. I'm starting to notice now that the summer's getting going, national media guys are starting to look around the NFL instead of in the offseason where you kind of just keep hyping up the same teams over and over again. Now suddenly the Eagles are starting to get a little bit more hype. Madden made them the highest rated team in the game with an 89 overall. I think they are right to do that, but it's funny now how everyone's starting to have their eureka moment about the Eagles. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to get into that here. How it's funny now suddenly everybody's realizing just how talented this Eagles team is, despite the 2 years of crazy accomplishments from Philadelphia. That's coming up right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. Louis DiBiase and my buddy Lars Lewis. All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this Tuesday edition. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis. Lars, agree or disagree, the Eagles are the deepest team in football.
Agree.
For me, Madden got it right. They've done it. They've gotten it right 2 years straight. The Eagles were also the highest-rated team last year in Madden. You go to every position across the board. And again, if the Eagles were – this is not bias. For me, I love the job Howie Roseman has done. I hated the job Howie Roseman started off in 2016 with the Bradford contract. I hated what Chip Kelly was doing. When the Eagles are not building the right way, we'll say it. But right now, sorry, we're in the golden era of Eagles football. I'm just going to be straight up. So I'm starting to think that a lot of national media guys are finally realizing this. They're finally having their eureka moment. And it's funny, do you agree with me, though, that I don't know. I feel like
I mean,
the past year and a half.
Did Philly just not win the Super Bowl two years ago?
That's what I'm saying. The accomplishments of winning the championship and then last year suffering all the injuries you did and you still came a few plays away from beating the one-seeded Saints in New Orleans to go onto the NFC Championship game with your backup quarterback.
And I'd have taken that team over the Rams any day.
And yet, agree or disagree, the Bears have been getting more hype. The Rams get more hype. I feel like the Cowboys get a lot more publicity, of course, because they're Dallas. New Orleans.
Zeke might hold out.
Yeah, I heard that. Kansas City. Like, agree or disagree. I feel like those other teams are getting a lot more undeserved hype. I'm not saying those teams aren't top elite.
Well, I think Kansas City deserves the hype.
No, I'm saying I don't think it's undeserved hype. But I feel like a lot of people originally were putting the Eagles in the same tier with, like, the Bears and the Colts. They were putting them right in that, like, 6, 7, 8. And I'm like, for me, Lars, I tiered the NFL before the show, and they're in tier one right now. No team other than the Patriots has done more the past two seasons than the Eagles have.
Yeah.
And they are more equipped this year to be set up than any of these teams.
Yeah, if I had to put a tier A, I'd put the Chiefs.
Here, let's compare and contrast. I did okay. Patriots, Eagles, Chiefs, Saints, Rams. Is there another team in there you'd put?
I take the Rams off.
You would take the Rams and put them in tier two.
I put them in tier two.
Here's my tier two. Falcons, Cowboys, Colts, Bears, Packers, Chargers.
I'd take the Falcons out.
Okay. But for most part, you think that's pretty good?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
Tier three, Texans, Vikings, Panthers, Seahawks, Steelers.
I'd add the Bills there.
Yeah, I got them one lower. Here's my tier four. This is just the jumble that is the AFC wild card race. The Ravens, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Niners, the Bills, Cincinnati, the Jets, the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Lions. And then my final tier here are still the teams that are
Dolphins.
Rebuilding significantly. The Dolphins, Washington, the Giants, the Cardinals, and Tampa Bay, which I think Arizona has the best chance of all of them to get out of there. But to me, the Eagles belong in tier one. Way more than tier two with those other teams. I mean, the Chiefs deserve it. I think the Saints deserve it for sure. Of course the Patriots do. The Rams are that last team in there for me just because of what they did last year. But, I mean, again, you're looking at the Eagles and everything they've done despite the circumstances 2 years straight. They have not been at full strength in 2 years where you won a championship and you nearly won another one. So it's cool that the national media is realizing it. They are right now. But it's funny when a lot of these guys are like, hey, you know, you guys can all talk about the Rams and Saints. You know who's going to be a great team this year? The Eagles. Like, yeah, man, where have you been for the past 3 years?
Why do you think we wore the dog masks?
It's just funny. I'm cool with you guys saying it. Like, it's good. I don't need an underdog story every single year. But when people are coming out and being like, it's this like hot take, like, you guys can all talk about them, the Eagles, that's the team. It's like, it should be
like, where have you been?
For me, it should be a no duh moment.
Yes.
And I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like some people think they're standing out on a limb. Whereas, look, like Madden knows. They've done it 2 years straight. It's when it just comes to straight up talent on paper, I mean, a video game like that, when they're doing ratings based on physical strengths, it makes sense. It's no coincidence that Madden 2 years straight has had the Eagles as a top-ranked team. So I think they are way more in that tier one. And again, I'm not going to discredit the other teams because of it. It's just the Eagles have not been the sexy team, for sure.
But what they are, in terms of this past offseason and the offseason before it, they've been the efficient team. They're making these small signings that are making big differences.
Well, I think that's true, too. I think that's why is because, you know, they go out with the value signings of a Zach Brown, and they get back Tim Jernigan on a $2 million deal, and Malik Jackson now, I mean, interior pass rusher, one of the best to me still in the league. But, maybe it's not the flashiest moves. I mean, Jordan Howard, right?
These are moves that are not going to affect Madden, but are going to affect actual football games.
I think DeSean Jackson helps us get our flashback, though, for sure. Because even our playmakers, the Eagles have had incredible playmakers the past few years, but Alshon's not sexy. Ertz isn't sexy, right? He doesn't have the speed at tight end of a George Kittle or of a Travis Kelce. Like, he's a pristine route runner that's going to dominate you with body leverage and a huge catch radius and just chemistry with Carson Wentz. But now with DeSean, I feel like that's going to get some of that sexiness back. So is Miles Sanders, who, I mean, hey, Howie Roseman compared to LeSean McCoy. So I think this year you're going to see it, and it's already we're starting to see it. I just thought it was an interesting observation with Madden coming in and tiering them up top. I thought it was interesting that at the same time you're starting to notice as the summer gets, you know, training camp gets closer and closer, people that are finally actually looking into it are like, actually, like, the Eagles are probably the favorite in the NFC. And look, it's going to be a battle. It is not the AFC. Whereas right now I would say you have two legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think the Colts could eventually emerge as one, but right now it's Chiefs and Pats. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the NFC, I mean, Lars, like,
it's a hornet's nest.
In tier three, the Vikings, the Panthers, the Seahawks, I wouldn't be surprised if those teams made runs at all. In tier two, even, like, before Atlanta, like, Atlanta's only a couple years removed from nearly winning a Super Bowl. Dallas, as much as I'm not a Dak Prescott guy, like, Madden ranked them the second best team.
Can you run me through your tier two again?
Yeah, tier two is Atlanta, Dallas, Indianapolis, the Bears, the Packers, and the Chargers. Like, would you be surprised at all if Aaron Rodgers had comeback player of the year mentality this year and just went off? I wouldn't. Like, that Chicago, even, if Trubisky gets a year better, there's so many contenders in the NFC. So it's not going to be easy for Philadelphia at all. Would I be surprised if they lost in the wild card of the second round? No. But I think it's time for sure. I'm glad people are starting to realize it. Just stop making it seem like it's a bold take. And I just, there's only a few. It's not like everybody's doing it. It's not like a trendy thing right now. I've just seen a couple analysts like piggyback off Daniel Jeremiah and be like, actually, yeah, like this team's loaded. It's like, dude, welcome to 2019,
what
man.
What have we been trying to tell you the past three years?
This has been happening. Lars, thanks for coming on the show today, man.
Mm-hmm. Good,
get you back.
One.
Get you back on this week.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling good. Football's coming up. You going to be on the CB Wars podcast with us?
Ooh.
That's going to be a fun one. Me, you, and Gino. Because that's the biggest training camp battle this year, for sure. And I'm really excited. Dave Zingaro of NBC Philly posted his predictions for the cornerbacks. And he's got my boy Rasul on the outside with Maddox inside and Darby. We're going to get into our predictions, what we think's going to happen, what we would do if we were in the position. And then I set up a cool thing on Twitter where each physical strength, like who's the best at intercepting passes, who's the best tackler, who is the most upside. I did a big thread of polls for the CB Wars podcast. So make sure you guys go vote on that so we can have a really fun show this week on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. Follow my buddy Lars at LarsLewis12 and of course the show at Locked on Birds. Lars, any final thoughts today, my good sir?
I've got a couple written works that'll be coming out soon.
You got some good written stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good to me, man. For my buddy Lars Lewis, as always, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. If you could, please leave us a 5-star rate. Hopefully a review as well. It's how we grow the show and we can continue to churn out more and more content for you guys. There's not an Eagles podcast out there that's posting more shows. Once again, for Lars Lewis, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening.
And let's go Birds.